Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, hardly a day goes by, in fact, certainly not a day goes by, when you don't get the left, right, Christian, non-Christian, Democrat, Republican, progressive, conservative debate in the United States. And it's certainly an increasing feature of our own politics with the rise of a new conservative movement here in Australia, taking on some of the campaigns and arguments of their conservative counterparts in the United States. It's certainly true to say that under the presidency of Donald Trump, the issue of evangelical Christian influence in politics has raised itself to a very high level. And part of that, of course, is a kickback from Democrats who were very, very upset to lose their influence in the White House. And we've spoken about on this program many times this tit-for-tat left-right battle. I wonder whether these binary descriptions are not doing us a great disservice. And in particular, when I say us as Christian believers, in particular, are these binary descriptions doing a great disservice to Jesus himself, to the name of Jesus, and to the church that he founded? That seems to be the idea behind the movement called Reclaim Jesus, which had a big rally in Washington just a couple of days ago. Now, you might remember the guy who was famous for preaching at the royal wedding, Reverend Michael Curry. He's the Archbishop, the head of the Episcopal Church in the US. That's the Anglican Church there. He was one of those with many other very prominent Christians, including Tony Campolo, Dr. Ron Sider, Father Richard Rohr, who spoke out and lent their name to this campaign. And the campaign was the brainchild of the Sojourners movement, and Jim Wallace is the head of that movement. And I must say, it's delightful to welcome you to Open House. Good evening. Good morning to you.
Blessed to be with you.
Thank you. So where are we standing then? Make the case that the name of Jesus needs to be reclaimed in your country.
Actually, you just said it well. We have these binary politics, and left and right. And I want to say, don't go left, don't go right, go deeper. And so get back to Jesus. Yeah. Let's get back to Jesus. And so we're trying to, this Reclaiming Jesus movement now, it was a statement declaration, but now it's becoming a movement. And we're trying to say, you know, the early Christians said, Jesus is Lord. And when they did that, people heard them saying, Caesar is not. No other political ruler is. Jesus is Lord. So let's get back to what the life and death and resurrection and teachings of Jesus. Mm. And what does that say for our public life? That's what we want people to talk about.
Now, your movement has linked a misapplication of the gospel, if you like, to issues such as oppression and racism. In fact, the promotional video that you put out specifically made statements against racism. Are Christian people in your country using the gospel, misusing the gospel for a racist agenda?
Well, you know, I've never seen such racial division in the body of Christ in this country since maybe the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And here's what happened. Some white evangelicals are saying, we didn't vote for Donald Trump because of his racial bigotry, but for other issues. But then black Christians are saying back to them, so I guess racial bigotry wasn't a deal breaker for you. And that kind of says it all. You know, racial bigotry is an assault on the image of God. Genesis chapter 1. We are all made in God's image and likeness. And the continual use of racial hatred, fear, division that this administration does is really, it's not just a political issue for us. It's a theological issue. It's an assault on the image of God. And so we had six declarations we made in the church and then at the White House, literally on the sidewalk of the White House with 3,000 Christians there. We're saying, no, this is about Imago Dei. We're not going to throw away Imago Dei and accept this racial division that is core to our politics right now. Mm. And we went on and say, you know, this is really for us. This declaration is more theological and biblical than political.
And there's the problem, isn't it? When you get people who are good people of goodwill genuinely wanting to live out a gospel theology in approaching the problems of the day from a policy perspective, then the rubber hits the road and you've really got difficulty. There are policies that can go this way. That's when you start getting into the left-right battle. But are you suggesting that there's something more at stake here, though, in the United States right at the moment? And I'll evidence this. I noticed that Donald Trump actually turned up at a pro-life rally. He was the first U.S. president, just in the last week, to address a pro-life rally, an anti-abortion rally. And there's a sense amongst some evangelicals that I speak to that their guy won and now they're getting the benefits.
Well, when you let's take that in two parts here. One is when you go after political access and power and you're willing to compromise your faith for it, that's not for us just hypocrisy, that's idolatry.
Yes.
Now, I'm pro-life. Richard Rohr, Tony Campolo, Ron Sider, all those you mentioned.
Yes.
Of course, but a consistent ethic of life. We care about children after they're born, not just before they're born. And the policies of this administration are not pro-life. Maybe pro-birth, but not pro-life. And so you want a consistent ethic of life. But what too many evangelicals are doing, they're ignoring so many things about this president for Supreme Court nominations. I mean, this president's treatment of women, his own personal behavior, the amorality of personal and public life, this is something that that a number of conservative evangelical Christians can't support and are saying this is a theological issue, this is hypocrisy and idolatry. So you can't ignore things that people were critical of Bill Clinton for, and I was too.
Yes.
They're ignoring in Donald Trump. So this is politics. This is not...
Well, there's that binary thing that we spoke about.
Public life.
No,
that's
you're absolutely
exactly right.
Yeah, there's that binary thing we spoke about, because, of course, then people will say, oh, yes, but Hillary Clinton, she was the most anti-Christian ever. They were, you know, their agenda was to pull apart religious freedom. And that's probably true. Certainly Bill Clinton, and I was present at a prayer breakfast in Washington where he certainly claimed a Christian faith. You'd have to raise questions about his values. So are we at the point where we have to say, well, if ever Christians get too close to power,
that's right,
there's a corrupting influence, a potential?
That's right. Goodness. And so let me just say, I've been at this for a lot of years. And one of my models is Dr. King. And he taught us how to preach the gospel, to be faithful, both on the inside and the outside. So, yes, I've had meetings at the White House, on the inside, in the Oval Office, but I've also been arrested on the sidewalk outside the White House.
So
and that's where I was. That's where I was again last night, or last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, to be honest, it's I often think it's more comfortable, it's easier, it's probably safer to be arrested on the outside than be talking on the inside. And I see that an awful lot. We're involved in spiritual warfare now. This administration, this isn't just an American problem, as you say. It's around the world. There are these very far right-wing movements.
Yes.
Madeleine Albright, our former Secretary of State, called them fascism. Now, the body of Christ is the most diverse human community on the planet. I'm very proud to be part of the body of Christ, which is why we said in our declaration that America First is a theological heresy, that idea, for an international body of Christ. I'm talking to right now to Christian brothers and sisters in Australia, and I want to say that I don't believe in America First. I want to tell you that I feel more connected to brothers and sisters in Australia in the body of Christ than I do to America First. So we said, no, not America First. We said we are one body, which means this treatment of women, this misogyny, is against the whole body of Christ. We're saying Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So when lies are invading our public sphere, that's a theological issue. Jesus said leadership is servanthood. So leadership has domination and power and strong men all over the world.
Yes.
Not just in the U.S., but in Europe and all over the world.
Yes.
Philippines now, you know that very closely. Donald Trump likes these people. For us, being a servant, public service, not public tyranny. So we will resist authoritarian rule in this country because we're Christians. So all those questions for us are theological issues, not just political ones.
Where do you think your movement now goes? Are we seeing the birth of a new MLK-style civil rights movement amongst the Christian left thinkers or just Christian thinkers? Is that where you go? Civil disobedience? You just mentioned civil disobedience. Is that where you're headed?
Well, first of all, you heard about the religious right in America, and now you have something like that in Australia. I don't want to be the religious left as opposed to the religious right.
Good.
And so we're not that. We're talking about what does it mean to reclaim Jesus. So this was simply a declaration that has become a moment that I think now might become a movement. And so a lot of Christians are saying, I don't want to be that kind of Christian that sort of just ignores what Jesus said and did for political power, or I don't want to be silent or complicit. Many churches and pastors are silent. They don't support what's going on, but they're risk averse. They don't want to say anything. They're afraid they'll lose their jobs, divided political congregation. So this is a discipleship tool. I invite your people to go to reclaimingjesus.org. It's a website. It's got the declaration, all the signs, reclaimingjesus.org. It's all there, even resources for congregations. Mm-hmm. So Pentecost here is not the end. This is the beginning. Mm-hmm. We're sending this out to the churches now, and we'll have prayer and discernment and reflection in the churches and action all around the country. And the candlelight vigil we took to the White House, candlelight, may be a symbol of what we now do across the country.
Well, it's marvelous. I just have one final thing to note, and that is that some people have said of your movement, oh yes, but you've got that person there, they've supported the same-sex marriage cause, or you've got this person over here, their theology was a bit dodgy in some other area. What do you say to that, which basically amounts to a denunciation of people by association? Does that take away from your essential message that we've got to still reclaim what Jesus was on about, not what we've done?
Well, again, back to Imago Dei, we said clearly, all of us, it's only 23 elders who have signed this, just 23 elders, and people are now wanting to all over the world, but we're saying all of us are made in the image of God. And so, this came up at our retreat just yesterday, and we said LGBTQ are all initials that stand for people who are beloved of God. Now, in the room, we had differences, legitimate theological differences about gay marriage and gay ordination.
Yeah.
But everybody needs protection. Everyone needs to be loved, and everyone is our neighbor. Love our neighbors, Jesus said. These are all our neighbors. So how do we love and protect people while respecting different biblical interpretations of those kinds of issues? So this is uniting people across a lot of boundaries and spectrums. And we're saying that neighbor that is different from you, Republican, Democrat, left, right, black or white, gay or straight, they're neighbors. And so how do we love and protect them? And then let's respect our genuine differences theologically on some of these controversial issues, which the Lord will sort out over time. In the meantime, we want to put Jesus first. Our identity as followers of Jesus is the first thing.
Yes.
Not being American, not being white,
yes,
not being male. Those are not our primary identities.
Well, it's been marvelous speaking with you. Thank you so much for getting up early to speak
all
with
right.
us.
I love Australia, by the way. I really love being there. And
well, when are we going to see you out here again?
Well, my blessings to all of my Australian brothers and sisters. See you soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Jim Wallace. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jim Wallace is the founder of Sojourners, and Reclaim Jesus is the name of that movement. ReclaimingJesus.org. ReclaimingJesus.org. Are we at that moment that becomes a movement? I wonder. Well, you heard it here first on Open House.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.